Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, if we've never met before, my name is Gavin, and I work on staff here at Woodstock City. And we are so excited about today. As a lot of you know, we're in the middle of this Be Rich season. You know, Be Rich is kind of a campaign that we have that lasts a few weeks, but the reality is that Be Rich lasts all year long for Woodstock City, and even more so that's true for those of our partners, our Intersect community partners. And so today, as we talk about serving the community and be a part of being a part of a bigger thing than just a local church, we thought maybe the best thing we could do is to invite some of our partners to hang out with us today and let you just hear a little bit about what they do at their organizations, why they love it so much, and why you should fall in love with it as well. And so we're excited to have a handful of our partners. I'll introduce them in just a second. The goal of today, though, is for all of you to begin engaging with one of these partners or with an organization in this community that you have fallen in love with. And as a part of Be Rich, we want you to serve at least 1 hour before the end of the year with one of these partners or with an organization that you have fallen in love with. So with that said, we thought today would be great to interview a few of them, let you know a little bit more about them as well. Now, if you came today expecting like a sermon with a lot of Bible, you're going to be really disappointed, but you should come back next week. We always will do that next week. Normally, you get to hear from Andy or myself, but again, we're going to do it a little different today because we're in the middle of Be Rich, which, by the way, is one of the most fun things we do by far. So I'd love for you to meet some of these partners. And so if you guys are okay, would you mind just telling everybody your name and kind of where you work? And maybe just as importantly, kind of what the organization is about. Would that be okay?
Yeah,
Evan,
for sure.
Can we start with you?
Definitely. My name is Evan, and I work up at Goshen Valley. We have, oh yeah.
Yeah, we love Goshen.
Some of y'all have been there.
Yep.
Goshen Valley has 90 foster kids in our care, most of which are at Goshen Valley Boys Ranch, where several of y'all have come to serve.
Yep. So Goshen Boys Ranch, 90 kids
46
now?
At the ranch.
Yeah, yep. 46 at the ranch. It has grown a lot over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years, and a lot of you are the reason for that, just your generosity, and a lot of you serve there outside of Be Rich, so we love what Goshen is up to, and I know a lot of you do as well. So, okay, Gant?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gant Garner, and I am with Hope Quest Ministries. And what we do is we help individuals that are impacted by addiction experience freedom, hope, and life. There's three main addictions that we kind of specialize in. One of those is substance abuse, alcohol, and we also do sex addiction in a residential setting and support groups as well. For those who don't know what sex addiction looks like, you may have heard of pornography, obviously, and also people that are in the middle of serial affairs.
Yep. Yeah, they do incredible work over there. In fact, our whole staff got to go and have like a whole serve day over at Hope Quest, and it was really fun. I got to tear down some stuff. Like, we got to use sledgehammers. Like, you've maybe wanted to do that in your kitchen before. I got to
do it. You
were
fabulous.
It was really fun. So, yeah, Hope Quest is incredible. You guys are, we love being a partner with you. All right, Must Ministries, you ready?
Don Hausfeld with Must Ministries, and this is not fair.
Yeah.
Because he knows that I get emotional about Must Ministries and what you... Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. So generous. We served 30,000 people last year. Must Ministries provides the tools for people to survive. But that's not the whole story. Food, shelter, clothing, for people to be able to survive. What Must does is that we work with the individuals to give them a helping hand so that they can leave the cycle of poverty and get back on their feet. These people are just like us. They have had something that has happened to them. We provide counseling. We were proud to be able to put 618 people back into stabilized jobs last year. And one of the most... Yeah. And I'll stop. I promise we could all talk forever about our organizations.
That's okay. But they're used to 30, 40-minute sermons, so, you know, we're good on that. Hey, I love that, Don, I love that you're emotional about Must, and I think a lot of us have experienced Must, and we feel some of that same emotion because you do see people who literally look just like you But they have something has happened in their life, and they've just bumped into a moment where, and you know, we're all one moment away from being there too, right? I mean, we're no better. I mean, we're one moment away. We're all the same. And so, Musk, you guys serve in Cobb and in Cherokee. We got to be a part of helping create the facility in Cherokee through Be Rich and Generosity. And right now, Musk is in the middle of a big capital campaign. They are raising money for the homeless shelter that they run in the Cobb area. Don, you may remember the exact number, but like, how many people a month do you turn away right now?
The disturbing fact is not just the number. We turn away 200 to 300 per month, but the 75% of them are women and children.
Yeah.
That's been the change in our demographics since over the past 3 years that we are, our capital campaign and our new shelter is going to address with family rooms, special counseling areas to give these mothers and children a chance to get back into life again.
Yeah. When I recently got to go see the facility they're going to basically redo and double the capacity. But when I heard that you guys were turning away hundreds of people, mostly women and children, and you can imagine being a volunteer at Must and a person comes up wanting shelter and you have to look at a mom and their children and say, I'm sorry, you know, you have to sleep outside again tonight. I mean, what a horrible, you know, thing to do. And they're trying to solve that. So, hey, Don, we'll just keep going with you and work way back down for a minute. Can you just tell everybody, how did you get involved with your organization? I mean, you're all very passionate about what you're doing, but how did you even get involved in it in the first place? Don, do you mind answering that?
No. In 1994, I had an experience with a child that ran out to a van to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And child ran back and came back to lady, and the lady greeted her and said, you must have been hungry, ate your sandwich already. And she goes, no, I put it on my bed so I would have dinner. And at that point, I was kind of ashamed of myself for not knowing that poverty was right under my nose. Mm. So I got more involved, and I've served over 9 years on the Must board. I've served as chairman the past 2 years, mm-hmm. and I've just had a privilege, but this is something like you all do here. This is just amazing, the emotion that you generate here and the energy that you give off, because you know, I think, as we do, these are great organizations, that you can't do enough. And that 1 hour you're talking about, Gavin, mm-hmm. means you could change someone's life literally that day by that volunteer effort. Yeah. And it will change you. You will walk away more enriched than what the enrichment that you gave to that person.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we do look at the needs or the problems and we think they're so large, like, I don't even know how to help. And you almost just don't because you don't know what to do. And you're right. I mean, a simple hour can be the difference in a person's life. And it's hard to understand how true that actually is, but it is true. So, Gant, what about you? How did you get involved with HopeQuest?
That's a hard question for me. I got involved in HopeQuest because I'm the one that needed it. Mm. Many years ago, I was on staff at a church in Upper East Tennessee. And unbeknownst to me, but definitely beknownst to God, he was kind of fed up with all my foolishness and my double life. And so he brought out publicly, in a very public way, that I'd been having multiple affairs with different people. And I lost my retirement. I lost my home. I lost the ministry. Didn't lose hope. And I made a phone call down here to HopeQuest. And they said, come on, we got a spot for you.
Yeah, that's incredible, Gant. Yeah. And we know each other pretty well. I know that you attend here. You're a big part of Woodstock City. But I love that you're able to share that and be vulnerable with it. But the reality is, I think when I see this with the people who come out of HopeQuest, that they walk in hoping that there is hope, but feeling hopeless, they come out on the other side full of hope, but also full of the ability to be honest about what was happening in their life and how they got there, because they want to help people avoid that. And I see that in every person that comes out of HopeQuest. You guys do an incredible job with that. So, all right, you ready? What about Goshen? How did you get involved?
So I used to work for Young Life up at Sharp Top Cove, where your high school students go to
camp. A lot of you are probably involved or know about Young Life, right?
Awesome.
Seven of you, way to go.
Love
yes.
what they do.
Yeah.
And as my time there was finishing up, I wanted to move back home to Woodstock and started looking around for who was doing the most with at-risk kids here in mm-hmm. Cherokee County. and thankfully got connected with Goshen, loved what they did, and I've been there about 3 years now.
That's
been incredible.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't have to all answer the rest of the questions, but I sent you guys a list of questions that I wanted you to think about or process through. So here's this first one, and any of you can answer. What do you love the most about your organization?
I love the people that are on staff, because they're so dedicated and committed to helping people. But I love our clients. So many people, as they go through that process and you get to see them like you're talking about on the other side, they're absolutely amazing. Once they're able to unpack their story and deal with some of the things that they have in life, you really get to see God at work in their life and see him transformed. And that's just amazing for me.
Yeah.
That's the same with us. Musk Ministries has over 11,000 volunteers with 72 employees. Volunteers make us work.
Yeah.
That is probably one of the most special things, because to see a volunteer engage with a client and to see that client and that volunteer get enriched through that process, and then to watch that volunteer and that client walk out with their head a little higher and their shoulders back and know that we played a small part in that, that is what keeps us going.
Yeah.
It's the same at Goshen. What we, all three of us, do, we do more than just meet basic needs. There's a dignity that needs to be met for the clients we serve. In Goshen, we have a place full of beauty, full of love, and full of family that really changes the course of a young person's life.
I didn't ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it now. Can you talk about that dignity piece? Because I think all of you experience that with the clients. How does that work with people walking in? How do they feel when they, you know, first interact with you versus on the other side of that interaction?
Well, I think one of the things that there's so much shame that goes with addiction, regardless of where the addiction is. And so like you're talking about, the heads are hung low. They come in. They don't necessarily want to be there. But one of the things that we really try to accomplish, and it's really the biggest obstacle that you have to deal with, is how does God view me? And to remind them and to show them that God's grace is big enough, and that God is for them, and not just that he's for them, that he really likes them and cherishes them as children of God.
Yeah. Which brings incredible dignity when you live out of that. But yeah, that's incredible. Any either of you two guys on that? It's just such a cool thing that you do. Every organization starts in Woodstock City. I mean, all of us, right? Every organization starts, company, nonprofit, it doesn't matter, because there's a problem we're trying to solve, right? And so when you think about your organization, how do you kind of articulate the problem that you're trying to solve?
The biggest problem at Goshen is a lack of peace. All of us can relate to that. We can't necessarily relate to foster care. Very few of us in here have been in foster care, I'm guessing. But we've all had a night where we couldn't sleep, a day where we were filled with anxiety. And for a kid who's been in foster care, who's been taken from their home and probably through years of abuse and neglect, that peace is even further from the truth. So our journey kind of starts with an outer peace, a peace of knowing that you're safe, that your next meal is coming to you and you don't have to fight for it, that you're loved and in a family. But then it goes deeper. It goes to inner peace. And we bring in the best therapists and counselors we can to help our kids work through and find inner peace. Mm. We tell our kids all the time, and I love sharing with everyone I can, we are huge fans of therapy and counseling. Going to see a therapist or a counselor doesn't mean you're weak, doesn't mean you're broken. It means you're human, and you're working toward being a better human, and that is beautiful.
Yeah.
That journey toward peace is what it's all about for us.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's true for us, too. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I see a counselor. I love it.
Right.
It's true for everybody.
Yeah, no, I do, too. I say it, and it sounds like a joke, and I'm like, I'm serious. I'm like, I think that, you know, when you're hurting, you should see a counselor. I think you should see a counselor, too, so you don't hurt. Like, it just helps you get ahead of that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's great. Okay.
Oh, thank you. One of the things I'm so proud of what you all done and what Musk have done is, you helped us in Cherokee County up here. We were in a facility. If any of you volunteered at the original facility there, it was a masterful use of a building that...
Yeah, of a piece of junk in
very,
a way, right? Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was being more polite than that. But you see what we've got there now.
Yes.
Well, where we are at Must right now in our shelter is 48 years old. It's a repurposed church. It's got bubblegum, Band-Aids, duct tape, I think at everybody's desk, because we plug the holes all the time. Yeah. 2 years ago, when we identified this need, the change in demographic, I'm so proud of our board, said, we're not going to take it anymore. So we launched a capital campaign. We're in a 6,200 square foot facility right now with 72 beds. It is not geared towards the families and the change in demographic. And we just said we're not going to do it anymore. So we launched it. We're building a 30,000 square foot, 130 bed facility that's got family rooms. It's got wings for veterans. It's got everything that you need to be. And we've found out that we're going to be the first out of the ground shelter built in the state of Georgia that we can find. And it was a $10.9 million campaign in our first phase. And what has just been so, and we have embraced that, and we've gone out in the community to sell that. And as of last night, this year, I want to tell you what your donation does. As of last night, we reached $8.1 million of that campaign. Yeah. What you're going to see and what you're going to hear more of, because it being the first, it'll be the first that comes out with what we call wraparound services that provide all the support structure for somebody that is broken. And those jobs that I told you about were actually turned around in 32 days. Mm. A person that came in broken and in 32 days left our shelter and to stabilize housing, and 80% of those people had jobs. So is putting your money where your mouth is, you know? And when you stand up as a community like this, because there is some resistance in all of our work here, that when you try to build physical facilities, there's fear first, and then there's understanding. And then when you get past that, there is a feeling of thank you. And that's what we're embarking on to solve, to make sure that those 200 and 300 people have the greatest opportunity to come inside the shelter instead of finding some other place to be able to sleep that night. Yeah.
And that's quite a I love that you're solving that problem, because it's something we should work towards solving. In fact, you've heard us say this at Woodstock City. We think you should be generous because of what it does to your heart. But we have always said, you don't have to be generous to this church. You just need to be generous. And so even as you listen to the guys at Must or Goshen or HopeQuest, I mean, these are all nonprofit organizations. If you feel like you want to be a part of helping them financially, we would encourage you to do that, because we just want you to be generous to something that you feel God's pulling you to help solve. And so whether it's this or them or a combination, we would love for you to do that. And obviously, in the middle of a capital campaign, there's no better chance or at least time to engage with Must financially if you would like to do that. So, hey, here's the question I've been wanting to ask, and I've been looking forward to hearing your answers. There are so many stories that come out of your organizations that are just incredible. I'd love for each of you, if you could, to answer this. What's one story that is just so personal to you that maybe just kind of epitomizes like what your organization is about?
So we had an 8 and 9 year old brother in our care. They left about a year and a half ago. And the story for how they came into care absolutely broke my heart. The 8-year-old came up to his teacher, I believe second grade teacher, one day, and told her, "Hey, my mom is smoking crack. I need you to do something about it." And the teacher's like, "Oh, wow, I'm not trained for this. What do I do?" They file the report. They do everything right, but it's not an immediate process. And so the boy goes home that day. Well, the next morning, he comes into school and sets a crack pipe down on the teacher's desk and says, "Now do you believe me? Do something about it." And that boy came to Goshen, thankfully, him and his 9-year-old brother, and they were with us for a year and a half. And in that time, they were in therapy and counseling, and they had who knows what kind of issues in the past. But it breaks my heart that any 8-year-old would have to come to the realization that I will be better off in foster care where I don't know who I'm going to be with or where I'm going to go, but that's got to be better than where I am now. And that's the story of all our kids. They're amazing, smart, funny, intelligent kids who've been dealt a bad hand in life. It's not that they've done anything wrong. They've just been put in a really tough position.
Yeah. A lot of you have probably been to Goshen and seen those kids. They're just the best kids. And the hard part, for me is that when I see these children, I think not a single one of these kids chose this. It was chosen for them.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they had no choice. And so what you're able to do in their hearts and their lives is just so beautiful. Gant, what about you?
A couple of years ago, I got a phone call while I was on my way to work, and I got the phone call actually from a staff person here, and kind of explaining the situation there for a friend and a volunteer that was a part of our ministry here. And I said, "What's going on?" And he just told me about the infidelity and all the struggles and all those type of things going on. And that was about 2:30 in the afternoon. And I said, "Have him at our campus at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning." And sure enough, they showed up. Mm-hmm. And he also showed up with his wife. And I looked at her, and I could just see the brokenness in her heart, and I saw the brokenness in him. And I'll be honest with you, I really had some reservation whether their marriage was going to make it or not. And 12 weeks later, they decided to make some decisions where they're going to even remain separated for a while. And I'm excited to say that about a week and a half ago when we had a celebration event here at Woodstock City, both of them were there. Their marriage has been redeemed. That saved a son. That saved a husband. Mm. And it was just an absolutely amazing story. And if you don't mind, there's another story I'd like to share real quick.
Yeah.
If that's okay. Since I shared part of my story earlier with you all, I got a text from my wife. And this is what she said this morning at 8:34. She says, "I'm praying for you. You're going to do great. Let me know how it goes. I love you. I'll see you at 1. And for me, that's the most exciting story of all.
Yeah.
It's God doing his work. And we just celebrated 25 years of marriage.
25?
25, not 45. No, yeah. 25.
It was like you got married when you were 3.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
25.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, Don, I know that you're not a passionate about must or anything, but is there a, like, what story would you like to share just that?
One of the things that, it's a story that happened because of something. We are in, I believe the count right now is we are in 32 schools. We merged with a company called Save It Forward to where the kids that were not eating, the kids that were not, they were disadvantaged. Because if you can imagine your kids going to school and not having any food in their stomach, where other kids are testing better because of that, just had a pure nutrition. So I think we're in 32 schools right now. We keep growing. We have one here in Cherokee County. Yeah. And there's a school that is, it would be surprising to you if you saw the area where it was, but the teacher brought the child up and said, "Tell your story." And the story was, is that, tell them why you didn't eat last night. And the young lady said, "It was because it wasn't my turn."
Wow.
So these little success stories and these little touching stories are like the motivator. It's like the engine that just keeps getting stoked with more energy to do more and to help more. But it is just amazing to me when there are a number of schools in every county that you go in and the teacher will go 35%, 40% of those kids didn't eat last night.
Wow.
So that is the story. When a little child comes up and says, "It wasn't my turn last night," that means we got to do more.
We got to do better.
We got to go deeper.
Yes. All right, last question. We're all going to participate in Be Rich. We're all going to serve an hour. And I hope all of you fall in love with the organization that you serve with. And it turns into hours and hours and hours and something bigger for you and your family and your life. So what can people expect if they show up to volunteer at your organization?
It's going to be an awesome time. You're going to see a beautiful place. You're going to work with our kids to make the ranch a beautiful, beautiful home for them. You know, I heard a quote recently. It was, if you put someone in a place that looks and feels like a prison, they're going to act like they're in a prison. Mm. But if you put them in a place with beauty, it communicates love and tells them you have value. All of you coming out to Goshen, we're going to make Christmas happen. We're going to decorate trees, wrap gifts, play football. But ultimately, what you're doing is telling our kids you have value and you're worth being served. It's amazing, and I'm thankful for all of you that'll come.
Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Yeah. I'd like to piggyback on that because all those things are very much similar to us. When clients come in, they stay there for 12 weeks, and during the holidays, it's kind of extra difficult for them. I tell them it's a great advantage because it's kind of a reminder that every year at this time, you're going to remember what God did in your life. So we got a lot of campus cleanup to do. We only have one person that takes care of 18 acres, so that's kind of a burden for him. But we also have some opportunities, like you mentioned, to come in and do some decoration and just kind of help remind the clients that not only is God for them, but people for them too.
Yep. Don, what about you? Must.
One of the biggest things I think you'll do is you'll be enlightened. We have several opportunities. You can work at a donation center. You can work at a pantry. You could work over at the shelter. But one thing that you're going to find that'll just... I've talked to so many people that had this experience. You're going to meet people that are just like you.
Yeah.
You're going to shake their hand. You're going to talk to them and say, this vision that I have of who a homeless person was or someone that is needing food and clothing is different.
Yeah.
They are not. That will be the stark realization upon volunteering.
That's awesome.
Hey, will you guys do me a favor and tell these guys thank you so much for being here today?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.